friends. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And let's do this. 1-800-222-5222 is the phone number if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is the email. It probably could not have been worse optics for Debbie Wasserman Schultz and for John Podesta. They are both the head of the DNC and the former chairman of the Clinton campaign, respectively. You remember that these are the two people in charge of the two organizations that are alleged to have paid money to this Fusion GPS company to produce that dossier on Trump, the famous, now infamous, Golden Showers dossier that's been totally discredited. And they're both at Capitol Hill. They were answering questions. And guess who was the lawyer sitting next to John Podesta? Oh, it was the guy. It was the same lawyer who funneled the Clinton cash to Fusion GPS and hired Fusion GPS to produce the report. It's the same guy. And Podesta and Wasserman Schultz, excuse me, are both sitting there denying that they knew anything about it. So, you know, close to $9 million was spent between the Clinton campaign and the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. And you have their principals, right? The principals of these two organizations at the time are both denying that they knew anything about this payment. You don't buy that, do you? I mean, if you want to defend that, I'm keen to know why. Because that is not an insignificant sum, even for a larger organization. Look at the fundraising figures. For example, in the DNC, you know, a good fundraising quarter can be tens of millions of dollars. Okay, so when you spend $3-4 million, that's still a chunk of change. That's real money. We're not talking about, you know, a $5,000, $10,000, $100,000 payment. It's a great organization to work for if they, you know, they're just like, you know, hey, missing $3 million here, $4 million there. So you've got Hillary denying it. You've got her top lieutenants denying it. It's like starting to sound like a war, you know, this is like Nuremberg. I mean, nobody did anything. They're all like, no. We're just following orders from who knows. We don't know. Nothing. It's absurd. The level of absurdity here is staggering. Now, in the background, why this all matters is about a few minutes ago. Now, it's 7:07. Look, about I think it came up about 30 minutes ago on my phone. The New York Post is reporting that the grand jury, Mueller's probe, has submitted and a grand jury has approved first charges. So it seems there's an indictment. As we speak, an approved indictment. It's ordered, sealed. We don't know who it's against. We don't know the target. We don't know anything about it other than Mueller has drawn first blood. He's got somebody in his sights. And at the same time, remember about 2 months ago, there was talk about Trump firing Mueller, and everyone, including, we would say, more conservative, Trump-sympathetic congresspersons, were all aghast at this notion. I mean, nobody was going along with it. Well, now you have, yesterday, the Wall Street Journal, the editorial board, came out and said it's time for Mueller to go. That Mueller cannot be a part of this probe any longer, that he has to step down. And people are, you're asking why. I'll tell you, there's a few specific reasons here that really matter. You know what Mueller was tasked with? When you go back to the original Rod Rosenstein letter, you remember that you had the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, recused himself. Immediately when he did that, his number two in the department, Rod Rosenstein, issued the appointment of special counsel. And this order, when it was issued, appointed Robert Mueller, and specifically was authorized. There was a specific thing that this investigation was going to look into: any links and or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of President Donald Trump. All right, this is important because the nature of Mueller's investigation has and continues to be, even I'm guilty of this, misconstrued as an investigation into Russian interference in our elections. It's not into that. It's specifically into collusion between Trump and Russia. So I'm just going back to the original document. So we're all clear that Mueller is not investigating, Russian general collusion, general Russian interference, general shenanigans. He's very specifically charged with looking into collusion between Trump and Russia. And that narrative, that entire investigation was spawned by this totally nonsensical, now totally discredited, now proven to have been bought and paid for by the DNC and Hillary Clinton dossier, authored by Christopher Steele, hired by Fusion GPS, which was in turn retained by Clinton and by the DNC. All right. I know it's confusing. It's a lot of layers. But it's important to understand. This document was the foundation for what ended up here in this appointment of special counsel. And why Mueller is suspect is because he was the head of the FBI at the time that real investigations were being done into Hillary Clinton, into Bill Clinton, and each and every one of these investigations died on his desk. They died on his desk. For example, there's a piece, I believe yesterday, let me find it here. This is in The Hill. Yesterday, FBI watched, then acted as Russian spy moved closer to Hillary Clinton. And this is I'll tell you right now, it's a 10-page article detailing all the different covert actions that Russia had to infiltrate Hillary Clinton's camp. And every one of these investigations, and it was all around the time, I'll read a specific package for you here. FBI agents, this is directly from The Hill piece published yesterday. FBI agents were surprised by the timing and size of a $500,000 check that a Kremlin-linked bank provided Bill Clinton for a single speech in the summer of 2010. The payday came just weeks after Hillary Clinton helped arrange for American executives to travel to Moscow to support Putin's efforts to build his own country's version of Silicon Valley. And it goes on, too, to mention how you have the Uranium One deal, where 20% of our uranium reserves, right, the foundational material for nuclear weapons, ended up in the hands of the Russians. Following a $153 million payout to the Clinton Crime Family Foundation. This is criminal. There is no other word for it. The investigation into that, the investigation into the speech payment, the investigation into other patterns and practices here with the Clintons and the Russians died, and they all died at the FBI when Mueller was in charge. So then, this is the guy who you appoint to investigate with impartially Trump based on some half-cooked, half-baked document that, by the way, the FBI, now led by James Comey, knew was total BS. And how did they know it was BS? I'll tell you. Because they, after this document stopped getting paid for, the work of this Christopher guy stopped getting paid for by the Democrats and by Hillary, he was looking for somebody to pick up the tab. And he went to the FBI and they sat down and they agreed that the FBI would continue to pay him to do his work. Now, either you got to believe one of two things. Either the FBI is so stupid and inept and they're just such bozos that they had no idea what this guy, who was paying this guy. Or they had to accept the fact that this guy had already burned through $9 million working as a shill for the Democrats and working as a shill for Hillary, and that it was nothing more than opposition research, which is, you know, biased, to say the least. It's not, this isn't real intelligence. So it's one or the other. It's one or the other. Either the FBI are bozos and so inept that they couldn't investigate themselves out of a brown paper sack, or they knowingly, willingly went along with Hillary Clinton propaganda against Trump in order to ruin him, in order to destroy him, in order to get rid of him, hopefully before he became president, and if not after. It is a conspiracy in the purest sense. And I'm not, if you listen to me long enough, you know, I'm not a conspiracy nut, but it's starting to, like, it really, this thing stinks to high heaven. And I don't think it's okay. No, we're not. Well, this is what Sam, we're not going to let them get away with it. But Mueller was the FBI director at the time that the Clintons sold 20% of our uranium to the Russians. And he did nothing. And now we are supposed to trust him as some great arbiter of justice, as a great investigator into the facts. Give me a break. Now, the other thing is, the FBI knew. I'm telling you, I don't buy that the FBI is so inept that they had no idea. The FBI knew that that dossier was bought and paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign. They knew it. And that discredits it. And why? I'll explain to you why. It's very basic. There's nothing mysterious to this. Just put yourself in Fusion GPS's shoes. Somebody comes to you, a client, and says, I'm going to pay you $9 million. Well, maybe they don't say that, but they're going to say, here's your budget. I'm going to give you $100,000 week one, $200,000 week two. I'm going to pay you. And your job is to find material with which we can attack our guy, our Trump, our opponent. Excuse me. End of the week, brain freeze. So they want to attack Trump. Now, somebody, if they've got an open-ended billing arrangement, which is what this thing kind of sounded like, it went on several months and the billing came in on a monthly basis. What do? Well, you run with it. When somebody, if you've got a client in your work and they say, hey, I need you to achieve this end, I need you to deliver this result, what are you going to do? Of course you're going to go deliver that result. It's very different than when you have, in theory, an independent investigator who is looking for the facts. This is not Joe Friday on Dragnet saying, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. This is a guy going in, he's going to Kremlin sources, who've totally been discredited, by the way, and he's paying people money, and he's, you know, the entire purpose behind it is to find anything that will discredit Trump. You don't end up with an objective, truthful result doing something like that. You just don't. So anyway, the interesting thing, too, is then it ends up in the hands of John Brennan. Now, this is an interesting thing because as the director of the CIA, it ends up in John Brennan's hands. He knows it's nonsense and yet slaps a top secret stamp on it. OK, now it's. And what does that give? That gives the report an imprimis of being what? Credible, right? It gives it a veneer of credibility. And now it spreads like wildfire through the entire intelligence community. Who gave it to Brennan? My best guess right now is John McCain. My best guess is that McCain, because McCain had sent an emissary at one point to pick it up in London and meet with this spy, with this British spy who's working for Fusion GPS. Christopher Steele. This whole thing stinks, and at every step of the way, it has fingerprints on it from people who violently hate Trump. And the Obama administration was complicit in allowing this to happen. Comey, Trump should have fired Comey on day one. on day one, Trump's biggest mistake is letting Comey stay on as FBI director. Comey's hands were so dirty the day he started, the day that Trump became president, he was compromised. 100%. And together, this group between Comey, between the remaining people who are in the Justice Department holdovers from the Obama administration, these deep state operatives in the CIA, all these people together conspired to do what? Exactly what you've seen on the news. Resist! You know, it's like we had a bunch of Keith Olbermans inside the inner sanctum, inner workings of our government. And the result of it is this totally nonsense investigation. And it should make you upset, because really what it is, at the end of the day, is a hijacking of our democracy. And just wait. Just wait. If you don't like Trump, sooner or later, you're going to have a guy in the White House that you do like. And what if the other side does that to him or her? You won't like that much, will you? All right, don't go anywhere. More on this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
So I think a point that I have to really make about this Wall Street Journal editorial post that encouraging Robert Mueller to resign is that it's coming from the Wall Street Journal. This is not, again, this is not from Breitbart or even from, I don't know, from the National Review. This is from the Wall Street Journal and the entire editorial board. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And when you consider that that came out yesterday, yesterday afternoon, the Wall Street Journal editorial board writes kind of a denunciation of Mueller and explains why he needs to step down. One of the lines in it: the more troubling question is whether the FBI played a role, even inadvertently, in assisting a Russian disinformation campaign. Because what they believe actually is happening is that this dossier actually was the information was deliberately planted. Remember last segment I was explaining how these sources are all Kremlin-linked people. So this is stuff that the Kremlin wanted out. What if the real story was that Putin didn't want Trump to be president? That Putin wanted Hillary to be president, was helping Hillary, in fact. That all this nonsense about that Trump's the patsy here. Of course Putin wanted Hillary. Wouldn't you want? She was bought and paid for. They'd given her money. She was the author of the reset button. Remember the reset button? Everything that we thought about this, that you assumed, you know, maybe just from watching the news, the mainstream media, et cetera, might not be true at all. So what do you think about the timing? Wall Street Journal comes out, says, Mueller, you're time to quit. And the very next day, Mueller, we find out now about an hour ago, the New York Post reports that the grand jury has approved first charges in the Mueller probe, meaning that it's possible that this morning Bob Mueller went to the grand jury with charges and the grand jury voted to make the indictment official. It's all under wraps. We don't know who the target is. Perhaps it's Manafort. We don't know. And if it's Manafort, it's gonna be related to stuff that happened before Trump. His lobbying for the Ukrainian government. This is so crazy. I've stopped believing in coincidences. You shouldn't. Now, I'm not saying, you know, correlation does not prove causation. That is a statistical fact. And a law that is true for the most part. But in politics, you've got to be skeptical, very critical. You got to be skeptical. And this is why you listen to the program, because I am your favorite skeptic, part optimist, part skeptic, just a bundle of laughs over here. But I think this is how I think it's going down. If you're a Mueller and now you're starting to see the popular tide turning against you, because wasn't he the chief Boy Scout about 3 weeks ago? Sure, he was. Untouchable. He's not untouchable anymore. And remember, when you're Mueller and you've got 16 prosecutors, fancy office space, an unlimited budget, you want to lose that? I don't think so. I think you want to keep this thing going. And how do you keep this thing going? You start delivering results because, you know, we're Americans and we love results. So you know what's going to happen right now? Some real tragic miscarriages of justice. Because when prosecutors, and I give you this little lawyer's perspective here, I'm very suspicious of prosecutors in general. And if you're a prosecutor and you're a Boy Scout and you're a good person, God bless you. But you know what? A lot of your colleagues aren't. Because victories mean convictions. And convictions don't always mean you're putting away a guilty party. Or you're putting away someone whom you've proven without, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt that they're guilty of the crime that they've been charged with. So and when you throw politics into it, God help us. Okay? Because now you're talking, this goes back, Scooter Libby, I mean, that's a great example. Just a total miscarriage of justice. A guy whose life completely ruined by a witch hunt against Bush. We shouldn't even be here in this place. Mueller should never have, this never should have happened. And Sessions, the whole thing is beyond absurd that he allowed this to happen. All right. Got to give you the George Bush grabber update when we come back. Trust me, this is funny stuff. And we got the news up next with John Wolf. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, back after this.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Friday night, it's happening. We've survived the week, and we are headed to the weekend. So that's exciting. You know, there's a little bit of news out of Europe that I think I don't think anybody's really analyzing it for what it means. And that is, have you heard about Spain? What's going on in Catalonia? Catalonia is most famous for its gem of a city, Barcelona. If anybody's been to Barcelona, you know, it's a gorgeous place, beautiful architecture, and it's actually a very wealthy part of Spain. So for a long time, the people of Catalonia have wanted to separate from Spain. This is nothing new. But it was this week, in fact, today, that their parliament officially voted to separate, and their separatist president, whose name is Carles Puigdemont, has threatened to succeed. Leave Spain. Spain's fighting back. In fact, they're threatening him with arrest. They want to put him in jail for 30 years. They're like, you better not do this, you son of a gun. We're going to clap you in irons. So what is this? How does it matter to you? I mean, you're probably thinking, I don't care. Maybe I'll go to Barcelona once in my life. They've got good food, lots of cheese, fish, all that good stuff. I'll tell you, to me, this is fascinating because if you believe the globalist worldview, then the narrative is as follows. The world is better off if we come together, if we form a one world government where we erase borders and we sort of erase nationality. You know, this is a theme, political theme, and it's been a big theme this last year because you've got Trump as an anti-globalist, generally speaking. Hillary was a big globalist. Who won? Trump did. Now, in Europe, globalism is wrapped in the shroud of the EU. The European Union is the big globalist, exciting experiment, right? We're all going to get together. We're all going to be one big happy family. You know, 27 countries, they're all going to get together, sing kumbaya, roast s'mores, let in a bunch of, you know, people from North Africa and Arab, you know, world, and they're going to all just coexist peacefully. You know, once in a while, they're going to blow somebody up, but hey, it's all cool. All right, that's Europe. You see what's going on in Spain? There's a part of Spain that doesn't want to be with the rest of Spain because they're proud of their particular culture. This is a tiny little, this is like saying that Los Angeles, not even, like East LA is going to secede from the rest of California. That's what it's like. It's because people are proud of their cultures and proud of their language and proud of their traditions, and they want to be independent. And this is why, in my opinion, and I'm not pulling out any crystal balls, but I'm just going to tell you, I think that the European Union just doesn't have a hope and a prayer in its present form. I'm a tremendously Euroskeptical person, very pro-Brexit. I like that. I always thought that this European deal was doomed from the get-go. And this is proof. This is another bit of proof. You literally, this is not even a country like England voting to leave the European Union. This is a semi-autonomous region within a country wanting to separate, a state wanting to leave the Union. They have the same language, just with a little more of a lisp. I mean, that's it. So I'm pointing all this out because I think it's indicative that you can have of just how wrong John McCain is when he gets up there and he says this nationalism is just a dustbin of history. He doesn't know he's delusional. The man's delusional. He has no idea what's going on. And also, we in America look up to Europe. We go, look at the Europeans. Look at how advanced they are. And look at how, they figured it out. 27 countries, and they can coexist. And everything's great. No, it's not great. And you know what? In Eastern Europe, they are freaking pissed off that Germany and France has told them what they do, how they should do it, what rules and regulations they need to follow, how to set their tax rates, and they're done with it. Trust me, there's more of this to come, and it's not good for the EU. So when next time you're talking to somebody, they're like, yeah, the EU, that's the way of the future, say no. I listen to Sam Nation, and I think you're full of crap. Oh, George Bush, I'm going to talk about this. The new groping allegations. It's good stuff. All right. Yeah. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rudrovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KVC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rudrovsky. I've got to put in a word for my friend, sweet James Bergner, the one and only lawyer that you need to call if you've been in an accident, if you've been hurt. Don't try to go at it alone. Put Sweet James in your corner, okay? Let me explain why. You got the insurance company. You've got the guy that hit you, whoever it is. They don't want to help you. They don't want to make things right. They want to hold on to their money, okay? So what you need is somebody fighting for you on your side and somebody who's got a name and a reputation that will scare the crap out of the other side. That's the objective, right? So that's how you want to do this thing. So you give James a call. Consultations are all free, no recovery, no fee. You don't pay a dime until he settles your case. He's got a great team. Everybody's friendly. Everybody's helpful. And James is truly a great guy, a champion of justice, and he will take care of you. Phone number, easy, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rudrovsky, Sam Nation, we are back. Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And the story has been developing relating to President George H.W. Bush. And it has to do with him actually being quite a perv. I stand corrected on it. So we had first an actress that came out and said that, you know, it wasn't clear about what exactly transpired. Now we have a fourth woman coming forward, said that he actually grabbed her butt and told her that I'm not that president. The funnier, I'm not say funny, because this is crazy to me. This is all, so far no allegations have surfaced of him while he was president. Seems to have been later in life when he was already retired and perhaps starting to become a little bit senile. But at any rate, there was a woman. Where's the story? The third woman who accused George H.W. Bush of groping. Let's see. Here's what she said happened. Her name is Christina Baker Klein. She was an author. She is an author. And she went to a Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy fundraiser. She was an invited guest. This was back in April of 2014. Klein, this gal, also was there with her husband, David. They greeted Bush, who was in a wheelchair, posed for a group photo. The 41st president said, "Hey, you're beautiful," complimented her. Very nice. And then he whispers to her as they're getting ready to take the photo, "You want to know my favorite book?" At which point she leans in and says, "Yeah, sure." And this is her exact words of how this went down. "President Bush put his arm around me, low on my back. His comic timing was impeccable." He responded, "David Copperfield." And right then, he squeezed her butt hard. my gosh. So, all right. There's two categories of sexual harassment. The imagined sexual harassment, you know, when women say, "Oh, he gave me a lingering hug." Okay. And then, you know, who goes around grabbing people's rear ends? This is an, oh, be, well, yeah, proctologists. They, you know, if you really are into rear ends this much, there's a particular specialty in the field of medicine that you ought to be in. Well, you're right. Exactly. This isn't okay. I think what I minded about the first report was it just wasn't very specific at all. And then after it got published around, then she withdrew it. She took it off of Instagram. Suspicious, in my view. But now we got four people have all come forward and said essentially the same thing. He used this David Coppa feel. You get it? Coppa feel. He used that joke over and over again. It was like his favorite thing. And I bet a lot of people let him get away with it because, you know, he's a cute old guy and he's a president and whatnot. But the latest woman actually was a Republican candidate for state Senate, I think in Maine, at any rate. And he did the same thing. And she was not OK with it, certainly not OK with it. So there will be more people coming forward and kind of a sad end to a long life. This is what he'll be remembered for. Anyway, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live, back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. One bookend here to the entire drama related to the unfolding drama now. As it becomes clear that the Democrats and Hillary Clinton paid for this hit piece smear campaign on Trump, possibly with the help of the Russian government. Kremlin officials were the sources for the now discredited dossier authored by Christopher Steele. Thank you. One interesting development here is that the Democrats are trying to spin this as some sort of like a tin horn effort to persecute Hillary Clinton. So you had, and this is also because now there's a microscope coming out looking at all the Clinton Crime Family Foundation transactions. Here is Adam Schiff, a Democrat California congressman, and he's talking on Morning Joe on MSNBC about what really worries him with all of this bad news coming out on Hillary. Here's what he's really worried about. Listen to this.
Here's the thing that really concerns me, Joe. There are reports within the last 24 hours that the president weighed in with the Justice Department and said, lift the gag order. In other words, let's let this informant speak. Let's push this investigation forward. That's the kind of thing you do in a tin pot regime that is on the road to democracy. You punish the losing political candidate by interfering in the justice system. And that looks like what's going on here. That will need to be investigated.
Yeah, that's going to have to be investigated. Now, more investigations into Trump. I think, let me tell you how I read this. We have them on the run. This is such a weak, silly, stupid argument. Now they're scared. They are finally scared because the entire narrative was just turned upside down. And by the way, I want to talk about tin horn stuff. Do you remember the hysteria over Donald Trump Jr. meeting with that one Russian, I don't know, agent or whoever it was, person who got into his office saying, I've got dirt on Hillary. And he took the meeting and met with her. And do you remember how all hell broke loose in the press and in the media and everything? Well, all those same shrill voices are now totally silent when we found out that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats paid $9 million over a course of months to a British spy who was working with the Russian government to dig dirt up on Trump. The hypocrisy here is astounding. All right. Got some news on the opioid crisis and how the Trump White House is responding. I'm going to tell you why I don't like it. I don't like any of this. Trump's going, I understand where he's going with this, but it's a non-starter. And I think, well, we'll see if you agree with me. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after the news with John Wolf, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. Talk to you in a few minutes.
Radio.
790 KABC.
Hey, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Friday night, here we go, having lots of fun and enjoying my time with you. Lots going on in the week. One of the things announced, I believe, was it yesterday when Trump had that presser? He had a press conference kicking off a campaign against opioids. So a lot of, by the way, a lot of these drugs that are out there are legal drugs. But they're just overprescribed. I don't know if you know this. Doctors really do give out pain pills much more than they ought to. And my only brush with a painkiller once in my life was when I had my wisdom teeth out. And I think I was in college. I was, 19 maybe. And I had to have all four of my beautifully impacted wisdom teeth removed by the maxillofacial surgeon who I think might have used some sort of a chainsaw to extract them from my jowls. Oh my gosh. It was so I woke up from the surgery, right? And I'm doped up and I'm thinking, all right, no, that wasn't that bad, you know, because I was only out for 2 seconds. That's how it felt. And then I look out on the tray and I see the remnants of my teeth. And they look like they've been, you know, I don't know, just hammered out of my mouth. And I'm like, okay, all right, that's great. So they take me to the car. My parents drive me home. I get into bed. And, you know, I started to feel some pain. I it was painful. And then it got worse. And they had sent me home. I think it was OxyContin that they sent me home with. And I got, like a 2-week supply of it. And so I popped one pill. And that is the one and only time I have ever taken an opiate. Do you know why? Because I suddenly went from sort of not that smart to really dumb in like no time flat. Well, at 19, every 19-year-old boy is stupid. I mean, everybody knows that. I didn't feel pain. I didn't feel anything. I just lay there in bed, and I couldn't read anything. I couldn't write anything. I didn't want to do anything. I was totally demotivated. And so the result was I took that one pill and then for the rest of my time, I took ibuprofen and just dealt with the pain because it was much better than being than feeling this horrible, like, cloud over me. Now, I am a lucky person, and I'm lucky, I think. I think of myself as being fortunate because I don't have a traditionally addictive personality. I say I get addicted to things, but it's like, you know, cookies and chocolate and fast cars. So there it is. I mean, I have my addictions. But except for the fast cars, they're not necessarily fatal. But there are people who are predisposed to being addicted, to getting addicted. And these drugs, people are getting addicted to them very quickly, and people are dying out there. Okay? It's no secret. Now, if you know me a little bit, you know that my general attitude in life, I'm really a libertarian in the sense where I think that each person has a right to screw their life up. I don't know how else to put it. It's that simple. If you want to be an idiot, you can screw your life up. Now, there's this giant asterisk by this because we don't live in a free market. We don't live in a world where your consequence is your problem. No, your bad decisions are society's problem because we pay for your worthless life. You know, so the problem there is now society is a stakeholder in the decisions that you make, that I make. I don't like that, generally speaking. The war on drugs is not winnable. It isn't winnable because there's no way to put a genie back in the bottle. You are fighting against people's basest instinct, which is they will crave a drug and they're going to get it. And if it's not being provided on the open market, on the legal market, it's going to be provided on the illegal market. There's this big push right now. Part of this opioid push, and I there's a little news story out of Arizona that caught my eye. Now, let me see if I pull this up. Oh, yeah, there's a guy that was the billionaire founder of Insys Therapeutics, John Kapoor, was arrested yesterday. It's a billionaire, okay? There's only not that many of them really in the U.S., 200 or so. A billionaire was arrested yesterday, charged the conspiracy to flood the market with opioids, and his pharmaceutical company is supposedly, in cahoots with doctors to overprescribe drugs. So now you've got the Trump administration using the Justice Department to prosecute people who are in business legitimately. Okay, now I'm not saying that this guy didn't do what he's alleged to have done, but I'm telling you, you can't. The government has been unsuccessful in prosecuting illegal drug dealers and getting the flow of illegal drugs to stop. So I don't know how prosecuting legal drug dealers is going to get anything to stop. I'm highly skeptical of it. But I want to first let me first back up here to what Trump said, because I'm with him on where his heart is at. He talked about his brother, Fred. Trump had an older brother, Fred, who died of alcoholism. Just drank himself to death. And here's what Trump said. And by the way, listen to the tone. I know everybody says Trump's this kind of heartless guy, but he actually was very emotional and self-deprecating. Listen to this. Very, very candid.
I had a brother, Fred. Great guy. Best looking guy. Best personality. Much better than mine. But he had a problem. He had a problem with alcohol. But he would constantly tell me, don't drink. He would say it over and over and over again. And to this day, I've never had a drink. I had somebody that guided me. And he had a very, very, very tough life because of alcohol. Believe me, very, very tough, tough life. He was a strong guy, but it was a tough, tough thing that he was going through. But I learned because of Fred.
And he goes on to explain just the devastating effects that a lifestyle of addiction has. Okay. Now, here's what Trump said a little bit further going on, kind of laying the law down in the second part of his press conference on what we need to do about it. Listen to this.
In our lifetimes, nobody has seen anything like what's going on now. As Americans, we cannot allow this to continue. It is time to liberate our communities from this scourge of drug addiction. Never been this way. We can be the generation that ends the opioid epidemic. We can do it.
And people went nuts. And people went nuts and everybody's excited and everything. And I always get worried when the federal government, which is who Trump is, represents the executive branch, is the head of the federal government. When the government gets up and says, we've got to end X. Do you know why, by the way, so many people are hooked on these prescription drugs? You know, it's interesting because, by the way, the prescription drugs, these opioids, are way worse for you, in theory, than illegal street drugs. I mean, I'm not talking about when the drugs are tainted, but they're way worse for you. Do you know why? Because they're designed in a laboratory to be maximal strength, right? The idea of these drugs are to be powerful. And so what you have, it's interesting, the part of what has caused this opioid epidemic is the war on illegal drugs, okay? You've got that going on. And then at the same time, what do you have? You've got doctors that prescribe drugs like candy because they want patients out of their hair, right? I mean, you know this. You know people who go to the doc won't give me pain pillars. I'm going to go to the other doctor. And doctors want to get people out of their waiting room and off their back, so they give them the drugs, and it happens. And the way to deal with it, you know, honestly, it's interesting how from time to time, and we've had several prosecutions, high profile prosecutions like this locally with doctors who overprescribe and have people die. And there's local law enforcement measures in place that ought to happen. Don't always happen, but in Orange County and LA County, I can think of several high-profile prosecutions. But now you've got Trump, and you know what they want to do? You know what the big idea here that Trump has on this is? We're going to put ads out there, just don't start. That's the big idea. Now I get it. I mean, I get it. We don't want people to start, but. Do you know what this reminds me? Of course. This is Just Say No. This is Just Say No all over. I grew up with Just Say No. I was a kid in the 80s. Nancy Reagan's campaign. You had the syringes on the thing. Very scary. It definitely freaked me out. But I don't think that campaign ever influenced me to do anything. Or to not do anything. What influenced me were my good parents, my good upbringing, a good school, a good environment, good friends. Ultimately, we're products of our own home lives. I see a tremendous futility in this. I don't know how you put it back in the bottle. That's the tricky thing. You know, when you're a politician, politicians have to answer to a whole bunch of really stupid people. That's us, the voters, okay? And what do we voters say? We're ginned up by the media. The media got us all whipped up in a frenzy. We can never let this tragedy happen again, right? Every time there's a shooting. We can never let this tragedy happen again. Plane falls out of the sky. We can never let a tragedy like this happen again. People die of drug overdose. This cannot be allowed to stand. The fact of the matter is, there very rarely do we have political solutions to the problems that face us. Now, you don't want to tell a politician that. Sorry, pal, you can't do anything. For two reasons. One, politicians have huge egos, and they don't like to be told that they can't solve things. But also, the other part of it, they don't want to tell the voters that they can't do anything, right? They don't want to tell you and me that, hey, sorry, thanks for voting for me, Sam. Robbie, great. I'm glad you voted for me. But you know what? I'm just still going to be over here in D.C. doing nothing. This, by the way, my dream politician that goes to D.C. and just doesn't put in any new laws, because I feel like every time a new law comes in, it's there's more regulation, more problems, and a worse system. So I'm, you know, I bring this up. I may grab, have Linda hold on in the next segment where I want to talk to Linda. I know you're listening and you've got a great point. I'm going to get to you here after the break, but no, I think that this is really just empty. There's nothing behind. And I know Trump has good intentions here. And I believe him that his aversion, truly aversion to the devastation that is caused by drugs, opioids in particular, that it's genuine. One thing that I found out I didn't learn, but I know that his drug czar on this is Chris Christie, Big Chris. And Christie, one thing that he said at the press conference is that Trump's been talking about this for like the whole time they've known each other. This has always been on. It's like a thing for Trump, and it's because of his brother. But I just don't know. And why Robbie's shaking his head? You're shaking your head. Why? Uh huh. Oh, the marijuana. Yeah. Well, that's right. That's right. So there's the kid with seizures. And when he was the governor of New Jersey. Yeah, the kid with seizures and he wouldn't let him take marijuana. It's a good point. Good memory on that. All right. Don't go anywhere. More on this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky back in spite of technical difficulties. Maybe our connection was on opioids. I don't know. So sorry about that. Our signal here deep behind the orange curtain was interrupted right at the end of my segment, my last segment there. We're talking about Trump's declaration of war on the opioid epidemic. And this mostly has to do with drugs that are manufactured by pharmaceutical companies, legal drugs that are either acquired legally or illegally. Now, Linda, we have a caller. Linda, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yeah.
Linda's calling from Burbank. Are you there?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Hi. Welcome to the program, Linda. Good to talk to you.
Yes. Sam, are you aware that Trump is battling Big Pharma, aren't you?
I think so. I think he is. I mean, I think that's and that's evidence. That's why I was talking about this pharmaceutical founder there of a company. Let me see. What was it? Insys Therapeutics in Arizona. I do.
And you remember that statement that he made that he said something like, you know, I'm rich. I have all this money. I don't need Big Pharma's money, or I don't need money from Big Pharma.
Well, okay. I mean, was this during the campaign?
No, this was maybe like a week or two ago. He said that.
Well, listen, okay. So let's talk about Big Pharma for a second. I'll tell you this. Big Pharma gets a really bad rap out there, and it's not always fair or correct. I always go back to the reason they get a bad rap. Oh, you're wondering why? Because of high drug prices. That's the big thing. Like, and the irony is, of course, that these companies all give a tremendous amount of money to politics, right? As they are trying to influence various government agencies to support them, but you got to understand the amount of R&D, of research and development, the people behind the scenes that develop these drugs, many of which actually save lives and do tremendous good in the world. These drugs don't just make themselves spontaneously. So one thing, this is where my capitalist, you know, self, I totally understand why drug companies develop drugs, They cost money. They're doing it to make a profit. They have to make a profit. It's not speculative. It's you've got literally, in some cases, thousands of people on payroll who are all, you know, top-notch scientists and doctors that are doing the research, that are making these incredible drugs possible. So I'm not dumping on Big Pharma. And I think if Trump sees that there are abuses and he's going to go after them, I don't like it. I'm worried about the tone here. I'm worried about whenever a politician says, all right, we're declaring war on an epidemic. And if that epidemic is based on a human behavior, on a human weakness, I'll even give you that, especially if it's of an addictive nature, I just don't believe that government can put the genie back in the bottle and can really fix it. I think it's a platitude. And what worries me is that we end up spending billions of dollars that we don't have on something that won't work. If you're thinking about drugs and you're in high school, no, shoot, probably elementary school these days, and you see a sign that was put up in your school paid for with federal dollars that said, don't start, Johnny, you don't do it. You think that's going to influence you over the fact that you maybe come from a broken home and have some problems at house and you're under the influence of some bad friends and you know, next thing you know, you're doing stuff you shouldn't be doing? I'm just a realist. And I also I fully recognize that not every problem has a political solution. I don't know. It all comes down to the family for me. I'm a big believer in this, you know, and there's a longer conversation here that I don't think we have time for, but you know, maybe we've a lot of government policies that intended to do good has caused tremendous destruction to families. Huh? How about that? And maybe that's where some of this problem comes from, or a lot of it. But I'm really worried about spending billions of dollars on this. Really, really worried. Not a good move. All right, we got John Wolfe up next with the news. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Bottom of the hour, I want to give you a little bit of dessert here. Radio dessert. I know this is a theater of the mind. You're going to have to believe me when I tell you that this was quite the police chase. I'm going to play you a snippet of audio. It's from the video. It's from dash cam recording of a police officer, one of probably 10 units, chasing a stolen car just outside of Cleveland, Ohio. Listen to this very carefully.
Cleveland, he's off-road driving down the ditch. We're not going to let him get back on the highway. Traffic is stopped behind us.
We got 8 patrol cars here keeping him off the road. Can you advise on intentional contact to stop him?
One car as gently as possible.
He's out. 31, he's out.
Out the window.
Break the window.
Roll down, bud. Break
the window.
We got him.
Easy, buddy. Hold up for a second, Sam. Let's get him cuffed first.
Break the window. Get him out of there. There's smoke coming out of the car. The guy, by the way, is riding in the ditch, right, to get away from the cops. They lay down spike strips. This guy's such an expert driver. He drives off the freeway into this, like, swampy ditch, right, off the side of the highway. The cops can't even follow him, so they're, like, following on the side of the highway. And then he's still going 60 miles an hour in the weeds. There's only one problem. Pull him out of the car, slap some cuffs on him. He's 10 years old. Yes, 10 years old. My son is 10 years old. Daniel, was this you? I haven't been home today yet. I gotta check on him. No, legit. So what happened was, his mom's boyfriend's car is outside of the house. And by his own admission, the kid got bored. So this is what you do when you're bored in Cleveland, you're 10 years old, you don't have anything to do, you maybe there's not enough opioids to take. So what do? You grab the keys, you take, this is a, I look like a Toyota Avalon. Is that the big Toyota? It was one of those big Toyota sedans. So if you own an Avalon, safe to say you can drive it off-road. You didn't know you could, but I'm telling you right now, as I saw in this video, your car has off-roading capability. What a ride. Boy, I wonder if this kid grows up to be, a productive citizen. Can you imagine him? Let's say he's a banker, and somebody says, Frank, you got any good stories? He goes, well, sit down. Grab a beer. Let me tell you a story of what I did when I was 10 years old. I love it. I kind of love it. And the kid wasn't hurt, okay? Nobody got hurt. The car is pretty wrecked. If I were the woman's boyfriend, I'd be like, what spawn of Satan kid do you have? I mean, I wonder if the relationship... time to abort on that relationship. We got to follow up on this story. I'll have... Robert, you got to make sure we got to find out if these lovebirds are still together. And remember, maybe, just maybe, we could get her on Love Nation come February. Every February, every Valentine's Day, we do a Love Nation show where we give romantic advice. Very, very poor romantic advice. But at any rate, perhaps we could give them some romantic advice. Megyn Kelly, have you been following this? The Guardian just put out an article, this is a total takedown of poor Megyn, calling her morning show one of the biggest mistakes in media ever. And I'm going to tell, I know exactly why NBC did this. I know why they spent $18 million a year on her, which is all, it's like unheard of money. $18 million a year, and I know exactly why they did it. And when I tell you why, you're gonna just want to bury your head in your hands, just like producer Robbie is over there. Such stupidity with people that are paid so much money, like the people that run NBC. Very smart, sophisticated people, you would think. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
And welcome back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Oh, I got to put in a word for my good friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergner, the one and only champion of the common man, of the poor defenseless soul. No, that's not really it. He'll represent you. He'll represent me. If we get into an accident, an injury, truck accident, car accident, motorcycle accident, Segway accident, anything like that, call Sweet James and let him deal with the other side, the insurance people, for you. Okay? Don't try doing it alone. He's got the reputation. He's got the name. People know him. They'll listen to him, and they'll get you the results on your case that you deserve. So it's really so easy. You give him a call, talk to him about the case. Every consultation is free, and there's no recovery, no cost. So really, you don't pay a dime until he settles your case. So easy. The phone number, it's easy too. And keep it handy. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. That's his website. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation back. I'm going to play a little clip here of Megyn Kelly. This is from her opening monologue for the first day of her new morning show on NBC. It's called Megyn Kelly Today. You've heard about it and everything. You already know, right? You already know that it's a disaster in the ratings. It's sinking faster than the Titanic. And, listen to the opening statement here, because what she does in it is lay out her plan for what she's not going to do in the show.
As you've heard, we have the entire cast of Will and Grace here live, along with the show creator. And then we will be dissecting the latest tweet from President Trump. Oh, no, we would not do... No. No, we will not be doing that. The truth is, I am kind of done with politics for now, right? I know. You know why, right? We all feel it. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's gotten so dark, and I'm just like, over.
She sounds so stupid. And she's not. This is a smart lady. Okay, right there in that one sentence, she totally doomed her show. And you know why? Why do you think that NBC paid Megyn Kelly $18 million? Why? Tell me right now. Because it had everything to do with Trump. She was the face of the opposition, the media opposition to Trump during the campaign. You remember their little tiff? Trump said, you know, she had blood coming out of everywhere. And this is the beyond the pale comments. And next thing you know, Megyn Kelly was the one driving the dagger into the heart of the Trump campaign. And so she became a darling of the media left. And I will actually take it a step further, even though I generally think that obsessive Trump hate does not sell. There are people like Rachel Maddow that are doing very well being the voice of the opposition. Her ratings at times are actually very good. Now, I don't want to get too much into inside baseball here, but my point being is, if you play it right, if you play it intelligently, I mean, one thing Megyn Kelly has is she's intelligent. She's well-spoken, and she's way better to look at than Rachel Maddow. I don't know. I'm just saying that as a man. So the net result of this is you NBC bought somebody, okay? And this is the contract. I don't mean literally. But they paid her this enormous, exorbitant sum of money, and they paid it to her because of her hot commodity value, which is based entirely in politics. And then... here, voila, she shows up to do a morning show that is going to be nothing about politics. This is so stupid. I don't know who's in charge of this company, but they ought to be shot. Fired. Why do I always go to extremes? But do you understand this? Do you get it? It makes the idiocy of it makes perfect sense. And so we're supposed to trust these media geniuses to tell us what's up with the country. They can't even figure out what's up with their company. They can't even run their business. What a bunch of dolts. Okay, I'll be back after this. I promise I'm going to calm down a little bit before the next segment. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Okay, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. If you missed the first part of the program, we're talking about the latest developments in the Mueller probe into Trump-Russia ties. There is a interview with Representative Louie Gohmert, who is a Republican from Texas. This is with David Asman on Fox News. Listen to this, because basically this is right now what the congressman investigating this believe is the reason for why Mueller needs to be disqualified from the investigation. Listen to this exchange.
Mueller should never have accepted that. He is so right. Completely disqualified from investigating this. But he was FBI director. He knew all about what had gone on in Russians' efforts to get our uranium.
Right.
And they sealed up that original. They covered up that original investigation.
I don't know if it was covered up, Congressman. And we need to find out whether it was covered up. But the key
is
that
we know they sealed these documents.
Okay.
We know they prevented that from coming.
I think
then.
Most reasonable people would agree that in the whole panorama of Russian stories out there, Russia obtaining 20% of U.S. uranium reserves is a key point. And to have the FBI director who was right in the middle of that investigation,
that's
who didn't
right.
pass
in the
on
middle of it.
That information to the people
that's
who could
right.
have stopped the deal, for him to be heading the Russia investigation,
right.
he can't investigate himself.
Mueller was FBI director at the time that this criminal deal was coming down the pipe. He knew about it, his agents were on top of it, and he covered it up. He is completely morally corrupt, and more importantly, he's ethically compromised. He has no business running this investigation. I'm going to tell you what else. As I begin to see all these pieces, these facts coming together and revelations about this dossier and its origins and everything, how this all came about, look, it's a total setup. This was always, Hillary Clinton was always the Moscow candidate. She was the Manchurian candidate. She was the one who got literally $150 million to turn over 20% of our strategic uranium reserves. This is nuts. Pay to play, direct ties to Moscow. And then her campaign hires a British spy who goes to Kremlin sources to put together a totally worthless piece of paper that discredits Donald Trump and paints him as the guy who has Russian connections, affiliations, and loyalties. That is utter nonsense. None of this adds up. None of this makes sense, except that it was a setup, that this was a total hit job. And now we are spending, this is our tax dollars. This is money that we pay on our taxes is going to this bozo Mueller and his 16 Democratic Party funders. Why do you think every person on his team is a huge Hillary Clinton fan and gave her thousands, if hundreds, if not thousands of dollars each election cycle? Why? Simple. These are all Democrats. This is a Democratic Party hit job to take down Donald Trump. And the worst part about it, is there's a number of high-profile Republicans that helped make this happen, including, I'm convinced of it, John McCain, the maverick. You know, when this all comes down, by the way, now you're hearing all this stuff about how, well, this thing started with the Republicans. It started with the Republicans. Yeah, okay, that doesn't help. What kind of an argument is that? Oh, it's the swamp. Remember this, there are no party lines in the swamp. The swamp, when it faces an existential threat, will stick together. Republican, Democrat, don't matter. This is going to be the scandal of our political lifetimes. You wait and see. All right, have a great weekend. We're going to be back on Tuesday on Halloween, off on Monday. I will talk to you then. Have a great weekend. Thank you.